let's go ahead and get started. We may have a few more people coming in a little bit, so that's just fine. We are going to dive in to week 7 of Grow Tribe 2. I'm excited to be with all of you tonight. And for those who may be catching up online later this week, my name is Courtney. I'm on staff here. I've been on staff for 6 years. I've been in Grow 3 a lot this semester, so I'm really excited to get to hang out with you guys in Grow Track 2 tonight. This is one of my favorite teachings in the entire semester of Grow 2. Pastor Chris is with us, and he's going to be teaching, so really excited about that. A couple of announcements before we get started. We have our men's conference coming up. Men's night is Friday, October 23rd from 6 to 9:30 p.m. It's going to be at our Nacogdoches campus. There are going to be so many amazing things for the men's conference. I was looking at this list and I was like, oh my gosh, the guys are going to have an awesome time. They're going to have barbecue. They're going to have competitions. They're going to have cash prizes, axe throwing, wrecking ball dome, car show, tractor pool, lots of giveaways. So everyone is going home with something. So men, sign up. Women, sign up. Your dads or your brothers or your friends or your husbands. Everyone's going to want to be a part of this. It's going to be so awesome. We just had our women's conference last Friday. It was incredible. I know that the men's night is going to be awesome as well. So you guys can get more information on the cards there at your table. You can scan that code and it takes you directly to a link to sign up. So we encourage you guys to do that if you haven't already. Let's take a look at what we have been learning over the past couple of weeks. Does anyone know this week's memory verse?
Romans
5:8. You going to give it to us, Stephen?
When we were sinners, Christ died for us.
Yes, that's pretty close. Do you know, remember the first part?
But God demonstrated his own love for us while we were still sinners, Christ died for us.
Good job. So I love that scripture from the Romans Road, which basically the reason that we're having you guys memorize the Romans Road is because it teaches it's the basics of salvation. It's the road to salvation. So from we're all sinners, we all fall short of the glory of God, the gift of God is eternal life, all the way to, we've got more in Romans 5:8 now. I think this is the third or fourth one in the Romans Road that says it was while we were still sinners, so we can't do anything to earn his love. While we were still sinners, while we had rejected him, he came and gave the ultimate sacrifice for us. So, love that scripture.
Where we get the Romans 8?
Huh?
Where we get the Romans 8?
Romans 8 is not on the Romans Road, but I think there might be a Romans 8 scripture on later on. But it's not part of the Romans Road.
Yeah.
But Romans 8 is good. Lots of really good verses in that one. Let's talk about soap. Has everybody been using soap this week, studying? What have you guys been reading? What has been standing out? What have you been observing and applying and praying over in your life?
I know that today was Romans 8 and kind of reminded me on how, you know, nothing can separate you from the love.
Yeah.
You know, it don't matter what you go through, where you've been, where you're going, you know, Christ is just a, you know, just an ear away.
Mm-hmm.
If you're just willing, if he's open and ready, always willing to listen. If you're just willing to, like he's saying in Matthew, all you that's weary and heavy laden, come to me and I'll give you rest.
He's always there for us. There's absolutely nothing. I love that scripture. No height, no depth, nothing that we can do can separate us from his love. So that's so powerful. Love that, Stephen. What else? Anything else from the book of Romans, what you guys have been reading? Anyone would like to share? Going once. Anybody? Romans 8 is a big one. There's so many good things in that one. All right. Well, you guys continue reading the scriptures, going through the reading plan. There's a lot of really great books from the writings of Paul that you guys are reading this semester. What's exciting about tonight, we've just crossed the halfway point. We're going into the second half of the semester. And this, for those of you that were here last semester for Grow 2 Part 1 that got interrupted by COVID, this is, last week was the cutoff. So
yeah.
This week is the start of all new information. So I know that's for all the Grow tracks. We've been re-engaging. A lot of people have heard this information before, but I think God was still speaking. It was exciting to see. I know in Grow 3, I wasn't here, but I know in Grow 3, God was doing new things every week, and he was making that fresh and new. But now, we're hearing completely new teachings for the rest of this semester. And so I hope all of you will encourage yourselves in the Lord and what He's doing in you this semester. Encourage those at your table. Encourage those in the class to finish strong. Like, you guys are here for a reason. There's a reason that God has each of you in this class this semester. There's something specific that He is wanting to do in you, and He wants to speak to you about who He's called you to be and about all that He has in store for you. He wants to draw you closer and closer to Him. I love this section on living like Jesus. So I'm not going to take any more time. I'm going to turn it over to Pastor Chris for week 7, Diligence, Honesty, and Gratitude.
Awesome. Thank you. I'm excited to be here tonight. I get to teach and grow track too, actually the first time. And so glad that we're here, glad that we get to be here. Courtney said that she really liked this teaching. And I think I do as well, once you get into it. But I would much rather, if I'm being real honest with you, tonight I'd rather be teaching a lesson more along the lines of a David and Goliath, a monumental moment where you're like, you're preparing for this huge moment in time that's like, hey, once in a lifetime, you're going to have this opportunity to pick up the stone and sling it, and you're knocking on a giant, and you're victorious, and life is great. I would rather be doing it that way. Tonight, though, we don't get the chance to work on these one-time experiential moments in your life, but actually it's more of a, it's the tough stuff of a daily grind. And so, like, it's the stuff that's every single day we have to chip away at this. It's stuff that you can't produce character in a matter of, like, moments. It's consistency. Consistency compounds, and it's decisions, and it's small decisions that are tough to make and that we have to make. And so I'm excited to be here and get to talk about this one. Even though it's difficult, even though I'm preaching from a place of far from perfection, I'll be the first to say, and that's okay to admit, but we are tonight, we're diving into to living like Jesus and picking up His character and His conduct and His convictions. Tonight we're going to work out of Psalm 15. If you have it in your books or if you have your Bibles, tonight we're reading out of the New Living Translation. And so here's in Psalm 15, we'll read it. It doesn't start off like this whole passage. It's interesting. We'll get to it. So David's writing this, and he says, "So who may enter your sanctuary, Lord? Who may enter your presence on your holy hill?" So he asks a question. He's trying to figure out, okay, okay, who are you going to allow in? And so here's what he says. He says, "Those who lead blameless lives and do what's right, those who speak the truth from sincere hearts, those who refuse to gossip or harm their neighbors or speak evil of their friends, those who despise flagrant sinners and honor the faithful followers of the Lord and keep their promises even when it hurts, those who lend money without charging interest and who cannot be bribed to lie about the innocent, such people will stand firm forever." And I don't know about you, but when I read this, I was like, great, three words. That ain't me. That ain't me. That's not what I have. I can't say that I've lived a blameless life. I can't say that I've always refused to gossip. I can't say that I've kept my promises even when it hurt. Like, I can't say all those things. And so I read it, and I'm like, all right, now what? Like, what do we do now? Like, that's our starting point. That's where we're going off of. And it has all these qualities of people who are really close with the Lord. And I'm like, but God, that's not me. Tonight, before we talk about diligence and honesty and gratitude, I want to remind you, and I need to remind myself, that building character doesn't happen through a list of do's and don't do's, because more than half the Bible is filled with stories who couldn't check off everything on the to-do list to be right with God. More than half the Bible, the whole Old Testament, is people trying to follow. They had 10 commands, and they had so many different laws and customs and rules and things to have to follow. There was no way. There was no way that they could follow every single thing. And so tonight, don't see this as a checklist of how I got to change my behavior. Because changed behavior doesn't really result in a lot. Like, just because you change your behavior doesn't mean you change your character. But when your character is changing, your behavior will change as well. through changed character, you will start being formed and shaped, and you'll start seeing different things. And so let's not get this twisted. This is not tonight a lesson of do's and don't do's. We're going to identify some characteristics that as you're growing closer with Jesus, as you're getting in relationship with him, and you're aligning your spirit with his, you're going to start seeing the fruits of that through some of these different things that will start appearing in your life. So tonight, we're talking about diligence and honesty and grace. We're talking about these are characteristics of Christ's characters. Can we pray? God, we love you. We are thankful to be here. God, thank you for your protection and your safety and your health, Lord. I pray that tonight that you would speak to us. We open ourselves. God, we make ourselves available right now, Jesus, to hear from you. God, I would speak your words and speak your truth, Lord. We pray that you would help us to become more like you. Because that's what we're, as Christ followers, God, that's what we want to do. We want to become more like you. So we do that tonight, Jesus. In your name we pray. Everyone said, amen.
Amen.
So we talk about diligence. Do we have anybody that knows what diligence is, any synonyms, any things that you have as you think about the word? Any words come to mind?
Persistence,
that's good.
Consistency,
yeah. Kind of the way I saw it was it's the consistency. I get to do this. It's also alertness, it's vigor, it's intensity, it's steady. We have a couple of scriptures that relate with talk specifically about diligence. We go to Proverbs 13:4. It says, "The soul of the sluggard craves and gets nothing, and while the soul of the diligent is richly supplied." Also, we move on to Galatians 6:9. This one's actually, it'll get you because I've heard it a million times until this morning. Just kind of a duh. It says this, "And let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up." Have you ever wondered why Scripture is the way it is? Why it says the things it says? So like in Galatians 6:9, it says, "Let us not grow weary of doing good." Why would it say that? Because we get weary of doing good. Like, that's just what we do. That's part of the deal. Like we dream, and we get excited, and we start, and we plan, and we're pumped up and on top of the world. But man, we quit, and we give up, and we move on, and we change our focus, and we stop. Like, that's part of the deal. So when it says that in Galatians 6:9, it says, "Let us not grow weary." There's wisdom in that. There's wisdom. There's a reason that it says that. It's gym memberships, it's diets, it's all these things. It's even repairing relationships.
Yeah.
Man, we're done with that. That was a cool thought. It was a cool thought to see restoration there. Let me encourage you tonight, anything worth doing is uphill. Yeah. Anything worth achieving, it's going to take work. It's going to make you tired, but the diligence will help us carry us through. So we look at, in our notes we have what diligence is. Diligent is defined as steady, earnest, and energetic effort, persevering application. Diligence is the responsible, orderly, steady, stick-with-itness application of God's power with me towards whatever responsibility is mine. So if we were to look at this, we don't have within us the full amount of diligence on our own, in our own nature, in our own being. We don't have enough diligence to really go after what God has for us fully on our own. So God's power, he comes and we seek him. God, we seek you for diligence. He pulls that. He puts that in us. We use that to apply it toward whatever responsibility that he gives us. Whatever responsibility. We don't get to choose what we're responsible for. When he gives us a responsibility, we tend to that in all aspects and in all facets of life. Diligence is productive. It's enduring. It's that ability to keep going and keep pursuing and keep pressing on and keep pushing towards even when it's difficult and even when it's uncomfortable and even when it hurts and even when it's like, this is not the way I saw this working out. Diligence is that characteristic that keeps us going forward. And character matters. I'll be referencing that book a lot tonight. We do have it available in our cafe. The Character Matters is a fantastic book to go through. In fact, it's probably been too long since I've gone through it. I'm ready to go through because it's one of those things that you can consistently go through it every couple years. It's just like, man, there's that. Holy Spirit would just, man, he reveals this and that and that. But Dr. Mark Rutland in the book says about diligence, the diligent man is a steady performer. And a steady performer is a finisher. One day, our life will be over. We're going to hope to, we're going to approach God. What do we want to hear? What do we want to hear from?
Well done.
Yeah, we want to hear, well done, good and faithful servant. We don't necessarily want to hear, well started, or well intended, or well to think about it, or well procrastinated on.
I ran out of time.
We want to hear him say, well done, that we attended to what he was saying. Faith is required to start something. I'm not saying that it's not. Faith is required to continue doing something. Faith is also required to finish. There's faith along the way within this process. And so faith, all three phases is wildly important, but he does say, well done. We want to finish, and diligence will help us push towards that. Jesus, he's pretty good. Like, he's pretty great to get to follow and listen to and learn from. And so when we're talking about character and talking about I want to align my character with his, he's a pretty good character to actually get to look at. If you look in the New Testament, look at any of the Gospels. I was studying this afternoon. I was like, man, what can I do? What's the example? So I kept reading, read a lot of Matthew, read a lot of Mark. And I was just like, what's the story? What's the parable? What's the thing? And I was like, you know what? Maybe it's not the story. Maybe it's not the parable. Maybe it's just the words, the account of what Jesus is doing. Because what you constantly see that Jesus is doing in the New Testament, Jesus is returning, or he's leaving to go to, or he's moving on to the next thing, or he's having to change to this city. He's on his way somewhere else. What he's doing is he's tending to the responsibility of what God put in front of him. He's constantly going. He's constantly moving. He's constantly on the go and going to what's next. He's diligent in attending to what God is speaking to him. So we move on to what diligence is not. Let me just say this very clearly. Diligence is not driven, anxiety-ridden, burdened perfectionism. That's not it. Perfectionism is a neurotic lifestyle that finally becomes temporary and counterproductive. The driven, perfectionistic workaholic is always unable to reach his or her own unattainable standards. They're obsessed, but they're not even controlled. Like, it consumes everything about them, but they cannot get this thing under control. It's like they're way out of whack, way out of balance. So what God is not calling us to is to be perfectionist. It's, yes, we are supposed to attend to everything that he reveals. That's from our job to our families, to our house, to our car. Let's tend to these things. Let's take care of these things. Let's take care of all of it. And if I wanted to make us all anxious tonight and a nervous wreck, I could have us all just list out, hey, what is everything you're responsible for? What is it? Let's fill all three of these blinds up with everything in this world that you're responsible for. Like, we could all get anxiety really, really fast. But understand, when we're being diligent with this and we're taking care of what God has revealed in all these different areas, he's not demanding perfectionism. What he's demanding is that we tend to what he's revealed, that we follow him. Diligence is, it's not perfection. Perfection, if you're looking for that, perfection is an output goal. Perfection is like the result of something. Okay, so in baseball, there's playoffs going right now. At the time of this recording, the Astros haven't recovered with their miracle comeback from being down 3-0. They play tonight. First pitch is like in 45 minutes. But we're going to come back. So at this point, we haven't seen it yet, but we will. But in baseball, if a pitcher were to throw a perfect game, what that means is that the pitcher went through all 9 innings, 3 outs per inning, without giving up a walk, without giving up a hit. Okay? As a result of not giving up a walk, not giving up a hit, he has a perfect game, which is very, very rare. You're not going to see a pitcher after a game when the reporters are interviewing him. He's not going to say, I'm really disappointed I didn't get the perfect game tonight. Because, quite honestly, the perfect game is out of his control. It doesn't matter how good of a pitch he throws, sometimes the batter just doesn't put the ball in play. sometimes there's just this quirky hit. It goes into the outfield just barely, or it bloops up and they drop the ball, or it's a weird throw and mistake. There's so many factors that go into a perfect game. So he's not going to be mad about that. What he might be upset with is if he doesn't focus on each and every pitch that he makes. See, what the pitcher can focus on every time there's a batter up to the plate, it's every single pitch. It's this process. This perfect game resulted from every single pitch being intentional, being targeted. I'm going to get my fastball. I'm going to run it low here. I'm going to come back with a breaking ball and on this batter, and I'm going to try to get him to be ahead of the swing. And then I'm going to come back one more time with a fastball and blaze it by. Okay, what he can control is every single pitch. And I think with diligence, that's what we're doing. Every single day, we're controlling every little choice to be diligent. Now, we're going to choose every single time to pursue the diligence of just taking care of what he's revealed and not worry about if this turns out to be perfect or not. It's not perfectionism that we're going after. Diligence has four faces. And these are in your notes as well. So number one, diligence means constancy. Temporary obedience is disobedience. If you had kids, have them. Just got out of the car with mine. Boy, they talk a lot after school. And when they get together, it is like, wow. So tonight, I'm typing up my notes. I'm like, hey, we're going to eat dinner after church. I'm going to finish typing this stuff up. I've been thinking about it all day. And I'm like, I just got to get these things on paper. Just finishing it up real quick. Hey, kids, can you go to your room? I'm right now with my parents. So that's a whole another situation in itself that we're getting to live with my parents again after being out for so many years until we get into our new house. And so the stress is just fine and dandy. And it's all roses every day. Every day. But my kids go to this room that they're sharing right now. And I say, hey, y'all need to be quiet. Y'all just play in here. Watch some SpongeBob or play with your Legos or whatever. I'm just like, hey, dude, just hang out in there for a second. So they're great. And they're quiet for all of 30 seconds. I mean, every bit of 30 seconds. Like, they are perfect. By the time I get back to my table, I keep on typing away, and I keep on plugging away. It's already loud again. Temporary obedience is disobedience. They're three and they're six. There's obviously grace there. But we can be temporarily obedient as well. I'm continuing to obey, and I'm continuing to follow through. That's a sign of this constancy. Number two, diligence is instant. When it's revealed, we tend to it. Delayed obedience is disobedience. Number three, even though number two, I thought about landing there for a really long time, but when God speaks, we need to tend to it. We need to take him up at what he's saying. But number three, diligence is exactitude. Some big words. I'll tell you that much. Some big words. Constancy, I can probably tell you I have never used the word constancy in my life until preparing for this one. And then exactitude is another one. Thankfully, you can spell it. Diligence is exactitude. Partial obedience is disobedience.
I was about to start looking some big words up.
Big words. I did the same thing when we were working on it. So I was like, we also have a lot of definitions in here, so I'm not going to give you a couple more. But exactitude, it's partial obedience is disobedience. Y'all know the story. I was talking with my son the other day about Moses' ark. You know the story about Moses' ark?
Yeah.
Okay, or Noah's ark, just to make sure. Okay, just to make sure you were all on the same page. He asked me about Moses' ark. He was talking to me about it. It was actually, the kid thinks, he thinks like crazy. He said, Dad, tell me the story about Moses' ark. I said, I can't do that, bub. It didn't happen. He's like, what? You said everything in the Bible happened. I said, it did. But it was Noah's ark, not Moses' name. He was like, what stupid dad jokes. I'm like, I'm already there, great. But just look at Noah's ark just for a second. Like, if you go back and you kind of study through some of the notes, what you see with Noah's ark, first of all, it was the process of hundreds of years of this thing being built. Like, it's a long span. It wasn't like one day God said, hey, Noah, build a boat. And like 3 months later, like, bang, here we go. Like, it wasn't that. It was hundreds of years, and if you look at maybe the location of where he would have been, he's probably more likely to be in a desert than anywhere else. So, I've flown over the desert a couple times this year. I don't see trees. I don't see sources of wood out in the desert. So you can only imagine what this process over hundreds of years took in just the gathering of supplies, in just finding the resources and the manpower and to make this thing happen. And so he keeps working and working. Not to mention, I said he's in the desert. Like, you're building this boat because it's about to rain? Like, there's so many factors at play here. Like, just looking at it. But God didn't say, hey, build part of a boat or just gather the trees. No, God said, build the ark. Like, build it. Build it, and your family will get on there. And all the animals, two by two, they'll get on there. Noah had every chance to do partial obedience, but he didn't, and God showed himself faithful. Sometimes I find myself questioning God and talking to him, like, really? After a couple of days? Like, it can be days that we just, really, God, are you sure? Weeks? Months? I'm like, this dude did this for like hundreds of years. I'm like, really? Like, that's what you did? So our obedience, if God told us to do it, sticking through with that is important. Number four, diligence is observant care. Careless obedience is disobedience. You've seen this, and you see this most of the time, once again, harping on my kids, but they're not here tonight, so I can get away with saying as much as I want right now. Your kids have shoved toys under the bed. I mean, that's what they do, right? Like,
the attic.
Don't get to the adults yet, because us adults, what we do is we throw the clothes back in the dryer for the 14th time. Like, we do it. Like, I'm not saying that's sin, but I'm just saying we might be a little careless with this, okay? We shove the clothes in the dryer, and we shove stuff up in the attic, and like, we'll get to it. And we don't. But careless obedience, it's disobedience as well. And so it's just not going along the line of diligence. Diligence doesn't just relate to our work ethic. It also, you see diligence take place in a lot of different aspects of our life. Diligence is also about temptation. Character Matters says this book, the diligent will also be stronger in the face of those surprise temptations that arise suddenly to defeat so many. Be observant to possible danger and avoid it. Be intentional about making choices ahead of time. See, our willingness to be diligent around temptation. See, we all have a past. We all have things that God has pulled us out from. That God has called us to a life of freedom and living with Him. Like most of us in this room, I'm assuming, I know some of you, and I don't know some of you, we've gone through this step of we know God, okay? And we're trying to find freedom, and then we're going to discover our purpose as we're doing that, and then we want to go on to make a difference. That's the four core values of our church. That's our strategy. That's what we're going after. And in this process of finding freedom, we must be diligent to the fact that God pulled these things out of us and threw them away a long time ago, not for us to go digging in the dumpster, not to go back to the landfill and try to find that kind of stuff, because He pulled us out of that. Like, that's over, that's in the past, it's gone. And He has a life in store for us that's going to be lived to the fullest with Him. God doesn't want to just, like, He's not this God upstairs giving you all these rules to strip you of all the joy. It's actually just the opposite. God gives us these things to follow and to go after and to pursue because He wants a life full of joy. He wants a life that is just fulfilled. And He knows that we're not going to find any other thing. So we have to be diligent when it comes to temptation as well. We don't have to go back into the old situation. We don't have to go back there. So we talked about diligence. We move from there, which is a fun subject of diligence, and even more fun one in honesty. Okay, so we talk about honesty now. 1 Peter 3:10-12 says this related to honesty. For whoever would love life and see good days must keep their tongue from evil and their lips from deceitful speech. They must turn from evil and do good. They must seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and His ears are attentive to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. We're going for honesty here. There's honesty in communication. There's honesty in possessions. Honest means this. It means free from fraud or deception. It means legitimate, truthful, genuine, real, humble, reputable, respectable, worthy of praise, marked by integrity. I want to live a life that has those characteristics. Because when I look at myself, I'm like, yep, there's a fraud. There's a fraud. There's illegitimacy. There's a lie. There's fake. There's pride popping up. I can see all these things, and so it's a daily battle. It's a daily battle of honesty. There's honesty, we'll talk tonight, in communication, honesty in possessions, but honesty, and we'll get to one other point about it, but honesty in communication is this. It's telling the truth, candor and kindness. Honesty in communication is telling the truth, okay? That doesn't give you the right, hey, I'm just going to come in and say it however the world I want to say this. So get out the way. Like, I don't care about, like, there is candor and kindness factor in this thing of, like, treating people with grace and with truth. Like, that, like, there's both. There's both in these things. My daughter can struggle with telling me the truth. Okay? That's one of those things. She gets in trouble for breaking her brother's headphones. And, like, she can struggle to just admit to that. But so can we. Like we can do the same thing. We can struggle to admit, man, I'm at fault here. We can do it in our marriages. I'm really good at this game. I'm going to look way over here. I'm going to look this side of the room. I am just going to turn because I'm really good at this game in marriage. Whenever you're in trouble and you were an idiot and you did something, and I can be like, but you know what? It wasn't my fault. Now look, don't agree. It wasn't my fault. There was this, and you could have done this, and you could have done this. Like, it's hard sometimes to just accept that. Yeah, just keep popping over there. It can be hard to be honest. Honest in everything. Honesty in our possessions. It's right action in regard to things. Another quote from Character Matters on this. But true honesty goes beyond simply not robbing a store or telling a bold-faced lie or cheating someone of their money and belongings. Being honest begins with the motives and the intentions of the heart. And that's where things get crazy. That's there, here. Like, follow your heart can be some of the worst advice we ever give people. Because the heart is deceitful. The heart, if it's not in check and if it's not trained, it's not whipped into shape by the Word of God and His Spirit aligning with us, man, it can take you a really, really wrong way. Yes. We have to be rooted in this. Our motives and our intentions will become pure as we make a decision out of honesty. Honesty allows us to be really open and available to what God has for us and dealing with in a way that is truthful. Being honest with ourselves, being honest with God. You know, He can handle it. Sometimes your spouse, maybe they weren't meant to handle this. Maybe that friend or that coworker at work, they weren't meant to handle it. But God can handle your honesty. He wants it. He would love for you to be real with Him and authentic with Him. Bring your concerns and bring your worries and bring your cares. Bring those to Him. But we would do a lot of good in our communication. We can learn, like Psalm 15 said, talking about gossip. Like, man, we could just take it to Him. It doesn't count as gossip. We're not going to get in trouble for that. It's not going to happen. Here's some characteristics of an honest person. Characteristics, once again, this is not just a checklist of do's and don't do's. This is just what you will see as your spirit begins to align with His. Number one, the honest person refuses to take anything if it doesn't belong to them. Hello, the lesson in pre-K. Don't take the blocks. Those aren't your blocks. Don't take them. But man, it's crazy how much we can struggle with that. If we can struggle with it. In communication, you can refuse to accept praise or acknowledgement awards, information, and even credit for ideas that were not your own. So we have to like understand, like, we don't get to just take credit for stuff that wasn't ours to take credit for. Like, but man, there's a lot of leaders, and there's a lot of people, and there's a lot of you and me's out there that we would love just to ounce of credit. Yeah, that was me, that was my idea, that was my thing, it did that perfectly, yeah, we're good. And you have no idea. But we're taught that's how you need to play, that's how the game is played, but it doesn't have to be the way the game is played. In our possessions, you refuse to take anything that does not belong to you. An honest person lives by the statement, if it's not mine, I don't take it. For money, that's unpaid debts, and selling goods for more than they're worth. Failing to pay for something at the store. Or maybe you arrive late and leave early, but that doesn't necessarily get accounted for on the time card. You take anything that does not belong to you, you aren't owed it. But let me just tell you that, like, all these things seem so petty. And they are. Like, they are petty. They are small things, but they all go back to a root problem. To understand honesty fully, you have to understand authority. Man, some of us can be stubborn. Some of us with the microphone in here can be stubborn when it comes to authority. Because Jesus had this situation. He's walking the streets in Matthew 15 or 22. I was bouncing between those chapters today, so I apologize for not having the reference written. But he's walking through the streets. The Pharisees are asking him about taxes. Asking, hey, should we pay our taxes? Like, you see what's going on here with the government. You're seeing what they're using this money for. You're seeing how it goes towards this, this, and this. Like, are you sure that we have to pay our taxes? Are you sure about that? Because, like, what should we do? And Jesus says, hey, give me the coin. Give me the coin. And he says, you know, what does that coin say? And it's to the extent of, basically, this is Caesar's coin. So Jesus' response simply comes back to say, pay unto Caesar what is Caesar's. Despite all the wrong, despite the fact that I may not agree with everything, we pay that back. We give that to him. We present that, and that's understanding what authority is. It's understanding that you aren't owed that. You aren't owed that. You think you've been slighted, so I can do this or I can do that. No, that's not how this thing works. You may be thinking these are small things. Small things that are like minute. Like, Chris, where are your growth track two? Like, we've already got this down. I hope so, but maybe it's just me, but what I find is that my character is developed by the million decisions I make every single day. Character is formed not just in a snap of fingers. It is the tiny decisions that you make day in and day out. Have you ever started counting up how many decisions that you make? It can drive you crazy. But your decisions matter. It's kind of a two-way street with your decisions. You make them, they make you. Like, it's a two-way street with those. We move on from honesty. Talk about the last thing tonight. Gratitude. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says this. It says, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. We'll jump right in with the blanks as well. Gratitude is the quality of being thankful. It is readiness to show appreciation for and to return kindness. Don't wait until it's too late to say thank you. Gratitude. This one, actually, I thought, looking at the arrangement of it, I got some notes, and I was like, man, this is good, and this is good. But this makes a lot of sense to end with gratitude tonight, out of these three. Because gratitude is opposed to pride. Like, pride and gratitude, they don't coexist. They are fierce opponents because, man, gratitude is the opposite of everything pride is. Like, they fight so hard, and pride says, me. And then gratitude, on the other hand, you. It's taking the focus off of our own selves, pointing them at Him, at God. Gratitude is readily and heartily willing to give and show credit and honor where credit and honor are due. But you know what? Typically, credit and honor aren't due to ourselves. Like, we don't have to walk. I was doing this at my house, so listen, as I prepared, just as a glance, I was working at the house today, working on this, and I was like, how do I show this? And I was like, what would that even look like? Like, what would it look like? What's the extreme version of this? Gratitude, the opposite of gratitude is like trusting and thanking yourself for being you. Dear me, thank you for being me. Thank me for being awesome. Thank me for what I did today. Thank me that I am so good at what I do. Thank me that, man, I am just killing it today. That's weird. But, man, it's what we do. It's what we do. Like, if we don't have this in check and in balance, like, those words, we indirectly say them. But, man, we say them. We say that with our time. Dear me, thank you. Here's your reward for how you spent your time. Dear me, thank you for spending your talent this way. Dear me, thank you for your treasure. Man, we spend these things and we point these things at us, but a heart of gratitude is waking up and it's saying, it's starting from the get-go, because I'm telling you, there's mental battles and mental hurdles that go on every single day. From the moment you wake up, there's a mental battle. And so if you can wake up and you can remind yourself, God, thank you. Point your direction and focus at Him. Thank you for another day. Thank you for an opportunity to do what I get to do today. Thank you for this family. Thank you for this house. Thank you for what you're doing in my life. Thank you that you're still speaking to me and you haven't given up on me yet. We can focus our gratitude. A heart of gratitude completely opposes a heart of pride. They don't coexist. But man, it's gratitude's accepting and being thankful for God for what He's doing with the palms up mentality. Like, how can we be hurt? Like, how can we get overly mad when we've already just submitted our life to God and we're saying, God, my life is in your hands. Like, I trust you completely. Like, I'm palms up right now and I'm surrendering to you everything. So when you tell me to do something, I'm going to do it. And God, if you tell me to sell this or to do that or whatever, it's yours anyways. We live with this attitude of, God, my life is yours. My life is yours. And I'm ready to follow you. And I'm ready to take you up at your word for what you're going to do. We can live a life that thanks God with our talent, that thanks God with our time. We do that through serving. We do that. Man, there's so many dream team opportunities here at the church that if you're not a part of, we would love to get you, because it helps get us in alignment what the heart of God really is. We thank God with our treasure. You know, if we really believe that, man, this is God's anyways, so I'm going to give Him back what's already His. And this 10%, listen, guys, it never gets easier, no matter how much money or how little money you make with making this decision at first. I'm saying at first. Once you're in there, you start understanding that, man, the 90% that I can steward so much more than the 100%. It's this weird thing that happens once you have the experience of being a tithing believer. I found going through Google Sheets has actually been it's a cool documenting resource. So I go back and I look through some old emails. I find a link to something that I sent to Holly. It was in 2012, September. We actually got married a week after she graduated high school. Okay, so like we jumped in and we were broke. Like it was like I was working here as a generations assistant. She had just graduated high school. But I found this thing. I said, hey, babe, you know, probably with a little smiley face and all these little dumb things that we always did. And, just to make sure that you have to, when you're emailing and texting, you have to communicate tone. So it's all the smart smiley faces and exclamation points and all. Hey, babe, 5 exclamation points, smiley face, hope you're having a great day. Hey, take a look at this budget. take a look at this budget. It was laughable, y'all. Like, it was laughable. But it was something that I was reminded of, and I took a second to thank God for my parents that would teach about tithing and giving back to God, because 10% of nothing is still something to God. It's crazy, but it's still something. But it teaches a discipline there that from an early age, even before all this, but I was like, man, this is hilarious. Like, this, I'm thankful. Don't get me wrong. I'm thankful. Come from humble beginnings and still living humble middlings, I guess. I don't know what the next word is. We're not done. But I was thanking God that, man, thank you for instilling that. So how did I get here? We're talking through that we can honor God with our time and our talent and our treasure. We thank God with those things as well. Gratitude acknowledges that what Christ has done is enough for me. So Philippians 4:13 is the verse that we all know. For I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength. Man, we can wear that on some Letterman jackets. Like, we can make that our verse, and we can do this. And then when we look, and it's one of those things that we have a really great pastor. We have a really, really great pastor. And when I heard him say this the first time, this was like years ago. Because, you know, sometimes you just accept things. So you just kind of accept Philippians 4:13, and you're like, yeah, I get it. That's awesome. Go for it. Great. All right? Nothing wrong with it. But when he revealed to me what the, because I guess I didn't see it myself. Don't know why. Just didn't. But when he revealed to me what Philippians 4:12 says, I know how to live on almost nothing or with everything. I have learned the secret of living in every situation, whether it is with a full stomach or empty, with plenty or with little. For I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength. Man, there's a difference. Man, context is king. Like, wow. What is that? I can acknowledge that what Christ has done, we can live a life. And what he has done truly is enough for me. We can make having an attitude of gratitude a daily habit. A daily habit. I think that should wrap up your last blank. Make having an attitude of gratitude a daily habit. Like I said, your first thoughts in the morning, you focus your attention and your eyes on God with thankfulness. The heart of thankfulness. I got to admit, I woke up last night, didn't sleep great. Woke up at 2 a.m. I just wanted to make sure the Astros lost because it was a bad situation. That's not the best way to start your day, first thoughts. Like, I'm just telling you, like, it's a tough one to swallow. But when you can wake up and focus on him first thing out of the day, it's amazing what else will line up in your life. I'm wrapping up tonight. Everything we've discussed tonight are characteristics of what living a life of Christ-like character involves. This is not a checklist. This is not do's and don't do's, like how we said. As we pursue Christ, we grow closer to him, we'll see these things show up in our life. I want to take you back. I want to go back to Psalm 15. I want to bring it back and bring it full circle. We're going to read it again. And I think there's something that I got, and you'll get out of this too. It goes like this. It says, Who may worship in your sanctuary, Lord? Who may enter your presence on your holy hill? Those who lead blameless lives and do what is right, speaking the truth from sincere hearts, those who refuse to gossip or harm their neighbors or speak evil of their friends, those who despise flagrant sinners and honor the faithful followers of the Lord, and keep their promises even when it hurts, those who lend money without charging interest and who cannot be bribed to lie about the innocent, such people will stand firm forever. Diligently, gratefully, and honestly, I can tell you this, you and I will never be able to accomplish that list. But thank God that Jesus did. He came on our behalf. That he lives a life that is that is blameless and that speaks truth and that refuses to gossip. And that he models this author. That's what this is. This is an Old Testament psalm that really points to a coming king, a coming Jesus that's like, hey, I'm coming and I'm going to take this on and I'm going to do this and I'm going to live a perfectly sinless life. I'm going to take the wrath that you deserve, that you are bound to get, and that you have earned this on your own. I'm going to take that. So now you can enter on my behalf because of what I've done for you, because of what I've laid out for you. He's enough. We can trust him. And our character can be formed in him and shaped in him because of what he's done for, we can trust in him. What he's done is good. What he's done is right. The way that he has laid this out, wow, thank you, God. Thank you that you're doing this for me. Just that statement in itself, just to me, it's like it requires a heart of gratitude. Like it requires, man, God, thank you so much. Because I don't deserve this. I don't deserve a life that is this full and abundant with you. You did it for me. I encourage you this Sunday. I say this from the stage occasionally. I don't ever lie. But I say this a lot. This Sunday, Pastor Jeremy's message is about to, like, knock your socks off. Like, it's so good. If he can get as passionate as he did with me, it was me and him at a table outside. And he's just talking with his notes. He said, I need you to catch this. I need you to catch this. Because we talk about this. Me and him work really closely together on messages and as far as graphics and whatever he's needed for that. That's kind of my role. So I'm privileged to get to hear the message before the message most of the time. He's like, Chris, like, do you understand this? Like, do you understand this point? I'm not going to tell you what it is yet. You're going to have to come and listen to it. Like, I'm not going to do that to him. I'm not going to take his point. He would be so mad. Like, Chris, what are you doing? I'm not going to do that to him. But he is going to point to the fact that, man, Jesus, what he did, it's incredible for us. And it just leads us into this heart of gratitude. I want to pray for us tonight, and then we'll have our table discussion questions happening here in the room. Can we pray together? Jesus, thank you. Thank you that you are not giving up on us, that you are working within us, that you are working through us. You're pointing out these little things, God. Thank you that you don't give us this infinitely long checklist that we will never be able to sufficiently fulfill. God, we never could, but you did, Jesus. So thank you for that. Thank you that you loved us so much that you would do that, that you would live this perfectly blameless and sin-free life so that we could really come to know you more and have unlimited access to you here, Jesus. So God, I pray for hearts that maybe they're open right now, but once we walk out, maybe they would tend to close back up. God, would you keep our hearts open? Would you keep our minds attentive to what you're saying? That we'd be diligent with this word tonight? God, that we would be diligent to what you've called us to in all of our different areas of life and living. That we would live lives of honesty. God, that we would be known as a people who are honest. And that we would never build up our own pride and put us at the center and put us on the throne. Whenever, God, this is all you. This is all you. So, Lord, that we want to have a heart of gratitude. Remind us of that. That we would live and we would walk day to day with hearts of gratitude that are focused on you in everything that we're doing, Lord. It's in your name we pray. And everyone said, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, guys. I don't know if I did any good, but I was serious. Y'all are a great audience tonight and just super responsive. Thank you.
Pastor Chris, thank you so much. I want to go over what we have for homework. And we're going to take a little bit of time here just right at the end to go over some reflection questions. But the first thing that we want to do, if you'll see there in your homework, think of a person to whom you can show gratitude. So let's put this lesson that we've learned into action. We have some thank you notes here. I don't know if the tables already have them, but we have several thank you notes right here. So I'm going to pass these out here in just a moment. And so we want to think of just one person. Who can you thank this week for something that maybe they've done? Maybe someone who's been there for you. an interesting season, and I think that we have seen the church and just people in general being there for each other in the midst of the season. So who can you show gratitude to this week? Again, we have a memory verse. It's going to be Romans 8:28, and we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him and have been called according to his purpose. So excited about that scripture for you guys to memorize. Of course, you'll have your soap, you'll have your Bible reading, so make sure that you are taking a look at a scripture that stands out to you, making an observation, applying it, and then praying that scripture over your life. But then you'll see number three, there are some questions for reflection in Appendix E. And we want to take some time right here. We're going to have some music play, but it's going to ask some questions, and it's going to help us to reflect on what we've learned about diligence, honesty, and gratitude, and what is the Holy Spirit speaking to us right now, tonight, that he is wanting us to adjust or change in our lives so that we can become more like him in these areas. So we'll take about 5 to 7 minutes just to answer those questions, and then we'll come up and pray and close us out for the night. Teaching, or if any of you would want to share something maybe that stood out to you that you felt like I was speaking to you about, but what are the things that are standing out tonight? What are the things that maybe you've never thought of before?
I would say kind of my line of work, where I work at, most people kind of have this attitude of just being already in a negative mindset before they even get to work. Mm-hmm. So sometimes with me, like kind of what Pastor Chris was saying, just being thankful, mm-hmm. just being up and that the God is blessing you to get your uniform on and go to work and just mm-hmm. be just a positive atmosphere and energy around everybody, and y'all can kind of see it rub off on certain people once they get there.
That's so powerful.
So just kind of be a positive light in the dark space.
Yeah, and just that gratitude, how that can set you up to allow the Holy Spirit to show that in you. So that's awesome. What else?
To me, it was that God's not necessarily looking for perfectionism. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's looking for you to be diligent, and diligent is not perfectionism. And so knowing the difference between the two mm-hmm. and realizing he's not looking for, like, I realize he's not looking for you to be perfect, but sometimes perfect and diligent can be confusing.
Mm-hmm. It can
together,
be.
Like, you kind of put them on the same, like, that's what you're striving to be, and it's not really.
Yes, that's such a powerful thing to learn. I know that's perfectionism is definitely something that I've struggled with, and it's that feeling of obligation to meet expectations of the Lord or of people or your boss or, you know, when you're in school, like your teachers or professors or of your parents, you know, whoever it is, we can get so burdened. That statement, it's anxiety, it's burdened. And that perfectionism is such a burden on our lives when we feel obligated to be perfect, or like, if we're not meeting this standard of perfection, then we're falling so short, and it can be so degrading to ourselves and such a burden. And I love what Pastor Chris said about we cannot be perfect. That's not possible. But we can be intentional and diligent with every moment, with those choices that we make, with the opportunities and responsibilities that we have. And so that's what it's about, because we can be intentional with those moments that we have. We can be intentional with what are my priorities today. And so I love that. That was really powerful. What else, guys? Anything else that stood out to you guys? Guys, we're getting a quiet lunch. A lot of good stuff tonight. A lot of good stuff in diligence, honesty, and gratitude. Well, let me pray for you guys as we close tonight. Dear Lord, we just thank you for tonight's teaching. I thank you for what you are saying, Holy Spirit, in these three key areas of character that are truly, they're showing us who you are. It shows us who you have called us to be. Jesus, you gave us your Holy Spirit who enables us to live like you. I thank you that we don't have to come up with it on our own. We don't have to do it in our own strength. But as we allow you to change our hearts, we will see transformation in our lives, and we will see our character develop and be shaped by you. And Lord, I just pray that as we go into this week, that you would help us to note areas. Even as we go through our week, I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would show us areas where we can step it up a little bit in diligence, where we can stop us in our tracks if we're starting to be dishonest, and help us to speak the truth or act in honesty. And I pray that you would help us to find moments that we can be grateful to you, to our spouse, to our family, to our friends, to co-workers, to people who randomly show us kindness that we may hardly even know or may not know at all. Would you help us to show gratitude this week? I pray that these thank you notes that we may be sending or may be giving would be a blessing to those people. God, just simple words of saying thank you, we may not even realize the impact that they might have on that person, of showing that gratitude. And I pray that you would show each person the someone in their lives who they need to give that thank you card to. And I pray that you would speak through those words. I pray for your blessings on this class. Give them a wonderful week. Bring them back safely next week for week 8. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 You guys have a great week.